Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm Kimberly, fully vaccinated Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is actor Kirk Acevedo. Now, you know him from Oz and Band of Brothers and a slew of movies. He's so interesting, but we are going to be talking about voting and the 22 elections. It's going to be a great show. But before we get into our conversation, I do try to keep these intros short. I have a tier on Patreon, though, that allows listeners to listen ad-free and with a much shorter intro. The Start Me Up podcast is an independent podcast supported by listeners, and it's woman-run. It's patrons who keep the show going, and I'm so grateful. If you do enjoy today's show, take a look at the About page, check out some of my past guests. Most of the time, I talk to political people. Sometimes I talk to actors because I used to be one, but just visit patreon.com/startmeup. I do 2 free shows a week on Mondays and Wednesdays, and they're followed up by the What's Up show, which is just me alone talking about whatever I feel like, kind of like an online diary. I also do 1 patrons only show with a guest once a month. Just check out the variety of tier options at patreon.com/startmeup. You can make a one-time donation by checking out the text in the Patreon description. I've included a link that makes it easy to donate through PayPal. You can find Start Me Up on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are found. Just stop by the iTunes app, Apple Podcast Store, become a subscriber. It's free. And while you're there, if you like the show, please rate it and leave a review. I would really appreciate it. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Kirk Acevedo. Welcome back to the show, Kirk.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for having me again.
Well, I'm your big fan. I fucking love your Twitter presence. It cracks me up. And I've just got to tell you, I spoke with Christopher Boozy the other day, and he runs a site called Bot Sentinel. And basically, it's a way to rate Twitter people. And, yeah. You know, so it's like normal, satisfactory, problematic, and disruptive. So I wanted to see where I fell in. And I'm not completely surprised. I was normal, but the normal range is between 0 and 24. And I believe I was a 19. So I thought, I'm going to check my boyfriend, who is not as in your face as I am, and he certainly doesn't use the kind of profanity that I use. And so he was a 3, and I'm like, I'm not surprised. And so I checked you, and you're a 22, so you're like right on the cusp of satisfactory.
What is it?
It's called Bot Sentinel, and it kind of tries to figure out. I think part of what they do is if you're trolling, they add that in, which I troll. And
I troll.
Yeah, I troll Ted Cruz all the fucking time. Like, my boyfriend never trolls anybody.
Oh, okay.
Or if he does, he's nicer about it. And he doesn't use profanity. So, but it basically, you can, one of the great things about this website is, like, if you're getting attacked, you can choose some keywords. Maybe all of your attackers have certain kind of keywords that you're using. So you can use those, you could put those keywords in, and you, it works with your Twitter somehow. I don't know, you know, those computer nerds know how to do everything. Yeah. And then it'll block them all from attacking you. So you have to be careful.
I take pride in beating down my trolls. Why would I ever? You know, it's so funny. I was in a group, and someone blocked 80,000 people. I said, okay, let me see where I'm at. I was at 700.
Wow, 80,000.
No, but people in your group had 40 and 20 and 15, and I'm like this. Guys, I love my trolls.
I know you.
Like when you're bored, when you're yes. bored one day, and you don't have anything to do, and you're just like, I'm a little bit hungry. Should I order Uber Eats or should I just shit on my fucking troll?
I love it. Well, yes, I totally understand that and feel the same way. Although, I'm not going into it because I never want to fucking relive it again. But there was this one particular time I was attacked by everyone on the right. I was on the cover of Fox News. I was on the fucking cover of every...
For what? What was your tweet?
My tweet was just that I didn't understand how African Americans could support the NRA and the Tea Party. That didn't mean I didn't... I totally understand why they can be conservative.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about guns. It was like, that's what they were all coming at me with, because they were saying, you're saying a black person shouldn't have guns. No, it was supporting the NRA, because basically they're doing everything yeah. they can to stop black people from voting. And same thing with the Tea Party. Yeah. And I would say the same thing about women. And so I basically, all I did was said it confused me. And oh my God, all fucking hell broke loose. And some woman found my phone number and she called me.
What?
Oh my God. And like, I was on the cover of Daily Stormer, which is a Nazi site. I was on the cover of everything.
You know what? You can't. Listen, I'll say this. And I try to like coach my wife on this. You can't win. Because it'll be the only time Republicans defend black people.
Right.
When you're, you got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the fact that you are Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
oh, it's like,
yeah,
you're attacking black people.
Exactly.
No. But that's what those Republicans are going to make it look like. Because I bet you 99% of them, 99.9%, were all white Republicans.
And they were. It was like Glenn Beck was coming after me. There were a few. I know. There was a couple of black conservatives that wanted to, talk to me on their podcast. And it's like, no, because they had the Republican talking points. And again, yes. I completely understand why black people are conservative. I understand yeah. it. And I'm not, I don't, and I never even ridiculed it or told anybody how they should vote. I literally just said, it confuses me. That's all I said.
Yeah.
And, it's like, I understand why a big part of the Latino population is conservative. A lot of it has to do with religion. And, yeah. A lot of them are against abortion. And while I may not agree with that ideology, I understand it and I don't attack it. So, but of course they twist your words and they're really good at it. But it felt horrible while it was happening. I mean, I was so grateful that no liberals came after me, and there were quite a few black liberal followers that I had that were coming to my defense. But, it felt like shit. I hated it. And, it was weird because like I wake up to some phone call from some woman leaving me a message. It's just like,
that's weird. They doxed you or it's someone who knows you from your past.
Or they could have just paid like $7. Cause all you have to do is like pay $7. If you go online and
does that really work?
Yes, it does. It does.
What? How is that legal?
They
could find your address too.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not good. It isn't good.
Not to cut you off, but they posted pictures of my house on the fucking internet.
I remember. That was freakish.
Fucking cocksucker.
That scares me. No, it scares me, and I totally get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just because you have a certain political opinion, you're worried about people attacking you. And I the other day, the FBI... gave a warning that QAnon is taking it offline and into the streets for violence. So I imagine we're going to see... I was talking to my mom about that, and she's like, well, I think they're going to go after leaders. And it's like, I think they're going to go after whoever the fuck they want. And I said, it's precisely why I don't have bumper stickers, because I don't want someone targeting me.
That's actually smart. Very smart.
It's just, I don't want to live like that. I'm not a bumper sticker person anyway, so it's not like a big issue. But, I won't put one on for that reason. But you know what? I want to get to the reason I wanted you to have you on the show, other than the fact that you're highly entertaining and you make me laugh all the time. You tweeted something the other day and it really resonated with me. You said, collectively, we can change America where everyone benefits, not just the powerful. Together, we can move mountains. And that sounds so simplistic, but it's so true, because so much of the time, I guess you see it. I imagine you see, and maybe it's what prompted your tweet, that people are like, oh, they've already run. They have a defeatist attitude already.
Yeah.
And I did a show just before this one, was just for my patrons, and I've been experiencing more anxiety than I ever have in my life, and I truly believe part of it has to do with, you know, the political climate. But I just wanted you to talk about that a little bit more, because I feel like we need to hear this. Like, people get so overwhelmed and they feel negative, and then they assume the worst. And I think when we assume the worst, we kind of manifest the worst.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the main part of that is unifying all of us, all our little subgroups and little factions that we've kind of splintered into after the election, you know, after 2020 in November. We actually don't have a direction now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we're waiting for the midterms, and everyone's on Twitter is kind of fighting with each other. Mm-hmm. And that tweet was specifically to our people, saying, hey man, like, it's the long haul. Mm-hmm. Like this might be a 15, 20, 30 year long game, and it's not over, and we're forgetting why we unified in the first place. I mean, we only have a tiebreaker in the Senate through Kamala, and we still have two supposed Democrat senators who you know, with Sinema and Manchin, who, like, do we even have a split in the Senate?
Yeah.
So I think we forget that, you know, there's more registered Democrat voters than our Republicans.
Yeah.
I understand that because of the Electoral College, you know, you have senators that have the same power of senators who represent 40 million people.
Yeah.
But yet they represent 800,000 people. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense.
No.
It leaves us at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. It's broken.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Electoral College is broken.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I just think we're not unified, and I don't know why, and I don't know how to get us all on the same page. I think everyone just wants to be right most of the time, and they don't want to acquiesce. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it's okay to capitulate. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I fucked up, and you know what, that's a better plan, or how about this plan? Mm-hmm. And just keeping it open for dialogue. But also the problem is that the people that we elected into office, they don't listen to the people that got them into office. It just seems the majority of the time, and tell me if I'm wrong, these people we elect into office, like the Sinemas and the, well, I mean, listen, half of Manchin's people are freaking poor people, and he's fucking them over. Mm-hmm. And it's but that's a whole other different thing, because, you know, just Virginia, North Virginia, I mean, poverty central. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So if anyone is going to benefit from Biden's economic plan and all this stuff are going to be his constituents.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, they so just, you know, as they're collecting those checks, those monthly checks that benefit their family, they're shitting on the party that allowed them to receive those checks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just like, I don't know.
Well, they haven't received, you know, the thing is they, on the 15th, they're I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically for parents are going to get money. And if you signed up for either the stimulus check, or if you, did your taxes in 2019 and 2020, you're automatically going to get it. And I think if your kid is 6 years older or under, you're getting $300 a month. And if your kid, if they are older than 6 years old, I think, and it's up to 17, you're getting $250 a month. And that's a month. That's a big fucking deal. It's going to pull a lot of people out of poverty, and it's going to really make a difference. And I think, I think one of the things that you said, I don't know how to do it. I don't know the big answer either, but I think one way we could do this is because there's, you know, Democrats, as you know, are harder to get to march in lockstep. But I think there's this huge pool of people. I mean, half the country doesn't vote. And so if Democrats could lock in, like, I don't know, 10%, 3%, whatever it is, a small percentage of that huge pool, we would have a massive majority. And I think part of the way, like, I like Eric Swalwell because he just doesn't fuck around. He says it like it is. He's not he's not afraid to, he doesn't like tiptoe around shit. And I feel like our Democratic leaders, and I've said this a couple of times on my show, but I just want to reiterate, it's not me bashing on them. It's me wanting more from them. And, you know, I recognize the majority of Democrats are passing laws or trying to pass laws that are good for people. And then we have a few, you know, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin are the obvious ones, but there might be a few more that don't have to say anything because those two get all the attention. But let's just say 5 to 10 Democrats that are not playing along with the entire party. They're the ones keeping us from getting the shit that's going to help everybody. But if our Democratic leaders, and I'm talking to you because I'm saying this to you, not just to reiterate my point, but you've obviously got some influence and I don't know who you get to come in contact with, but I feel like if people like, you know, the Democratic Party leaders in the party, and then outside of the party, you could have people like Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, people who are high profile, whether they're actors or whoever it is that PACs, whatever. If there could, you know, Frank Luntz is really good at figuring out language to use, and the Republicans use it all the time. And they use it on focus groups, and they find out what works. I know Rachel Bedecoffer right now is working on basically a campaign. She's got a super PAC going. It's a campaign to kind of scare people into the truth, into like, hey, if we don't fucking get our shit together, we're gonna lose. And it's not fear like they're gonna take your guns fear. It's not bullshit fear. It's real fear. And people are motivated when they are motivated to vote when they're feeling either angry or afraid. And I feel like if all the leaders could get together and come up, like, I think every day, not only should they make sure Americans understand we are under attack by white supremacist fascist autocrats and what they're going to do, I think we also have to reiterate this program. All these people are going to get all this money, and dumbass Trump supporters are not some of them are going to take it and they're going to still vote against their best interest. But again, there's that pool of people who don't vote. And the thing is it's like, if people who are busy living their lives, feeding their kids, not having a lot of time to waste on, you know, Twitter, political Twitter, or watching the news, if like maybe Joe Biden did a, you know, monthly or weekly fireside chat, and you had whether it was on, you know, you could do graphic stuff, you could do, but pounding it into our heads that this is what we're up against, I think we would have a shot.
Well, you know, you brought up the Republicans. They're a unified force. They lock in and they stand by each other. I do not know why Democrats do not. We just always have something to bitch about, and I will rag. I will rag on them because that's our biggest flaw.
Yeah.
You know, like Mitch McConnell, right? When he was leader of the Senate, he had the Senate Majority Leader. He had them all in line.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what their agenda was, what they were not going to pass, which was every single Democrat bill. You know, no.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in line. Even with the QAnon crazies, with MTG and Boebert, they came into, you know, into Congress. They were just like, well, all right, bring them into the fold. You know what I mean? It's they don't miss a step.
No, they don't.
Whereas here's Schumer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what he's doing.
I know.
I'm not a Schumer fan. Listen, and I'm not one of those guys. I'm contradicting myself here a little bit because here's Mitch McConnell. They'll get everybody in line even if he doesn't like anyone. But at the end of the day, it comes from Mitch McConnell, and his agenda is his agenda, and he makes sure everyone else is on board. Schumer just doesn't have the gravitas.
He doesn't.
Or the pull to just galvanize his party. So it's just kind of like it's a free-for-all, so to speak. And I don't know why Biden, I mean, I'm sure he's had a conversation with the Manchin and Sinema and said, hey, listen. And if that doesn't work, Kim, you know what the next thing you have to do is you have to go to the media and out him through the media.
Yeah.
If you cannot lock him in real, his old 73 fucking ass in, you have to go to the media and you say, hey, man, this guy doesn't want this, 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 and this. You know who his daughter was? Yes. From Mila, who the EpiPen that price gouged $600. That's his daughter. His daughter has caused the death of his constituents, which she has. Because if you can't afford an EpiPen, what do you do when you have a peanut allergy?
Right.
So you have to listen. You gotta get your nails dirty, man.
Yeah.
This is truth.
I'm totally with you, and I think you know, I will say Pelosi is very good. Like,
she's great.
Yeah,
at
she's
it.
Really good at it, but Schumer just isn't. He just doesn't have it. And it, you know, I mean, I tweeted the other day, he's a nice man. I'm not like berating him, but nice doesn't.
Nice man. Listen, I'll say this. We New Yorkers, we always know someone who's worked for someone.
Right.
And I know a few people who have worked for Schumer. He's not a nice guy. Listen, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean that in the way of when he wants to get shit done.
Yeah.
He gets shit done.
So he's not being the guy that gets shit done.
I think he's the type of guy like a, who's the governor of, New York. What's his name?
Cuomo.
Well, he's burnt some bridges because he's hot-headed. He wants it his way. And he's burnt some bridges in his own party. That's unfortunately Schumer.
Yeah.
And so I understand not making someone like, you know, and he's middle of the road. He's a centrist. I get it. You know, and, you know, I love Elizabeth Warren. I could see how you don't want to put her in that position. Because a lot of Republicans do not like her.
Yeah.
I understand. You need someone in the middle of the road. But he's not that guy.
No.
I need a pit bull.
Yeah.
I need someone that's going to smile at you and then be like, stab you 10 times in the back like a Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Because that's unfortunate. Listen, the minute we lose the House and Senate,
that's it.
They're like, fuck the filibuster.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you waiting for? What are Democrats waiting for? Stop being nice.
I know. And you know what? The thing, and I hate saying this because I do not want to be conspiratorial, but, and I'm not 100% sure about this, but it is, I'm pretty sure that Kyrsten Sinema was in the Green Party and she came into power in 2018. I would not be surprised at all if she was some kind of a plant. And I'm not saying she is. I don't think Joe Manchin is. He's been around forever. But I think that he's got a whole different story. But with Sinema, I mean, she wore that ring with that little fucking outfit telling everybody to fuck off. And then she did that curtsy. And, you know, I was talking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The curtsy to the $15.
Yes.
I wanted to go through the TV and literally punch her dead in the head.
Oh my God,
I
know.
People are gonna be like, "Oh, you're talking about hitting a woman." I was like, "No, metaphorically."
Metaphorically.
I wish my wife could literally punch her in the fucking head.
Well, yeah, and it's like, why is she doing this? I can understand if she legitimately has like a policy issue and no, but she's taking an attitude to the people that got her in. And the party she's supposed to be representing, the country that she's supposed to be representing, she's telling us to fuck off. And I feel, you know, it's like I had mentioned something to a friend of mine and they were like, oh, well, she's voted with the Democrats before. And I'm like, well, a plant would do that because they want to look legitimate. So they're going to vote with the Democrats on shit that doesn't matter to them so they can save it up. And, you know, there's no way to, I know in 2018, there was no way to tell who was going to win. But the Republicans knew for sure they were cheating, and they were hoping for whatever favorable outcome. And grant, you know, this election worked in their favor because more people voted for Biden. And then I think a lot of people, like some Republicans and some independents, voted for Biden, but then they voted red down ballot. And and because of that, that's why we lost some, you know, we lost, Democrats lost. And then all of a sudden, people like Sinema and Manchin become really important. And Republicans understand this. Now, they didn't necessarily rig the election to happen that way, but they've been cheating and they've been hoping for that outcome if they didn't win outright.
And those are predominantly never Republicans you're referring to, right?
Yes.
Like, they're like, they know Trump was a danger to the Republican Party. And,
yes.
And listen, the Republican Party is fractured right now. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
It's walking wounded. I mean, it's not on death's doorstep at all, but it's been shot in the leg with a BB gun, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, those same people who those QAnon people, the Matt Gaetz and the MTGs and the Boberts and all those people, they're destroying their party even more so than what Trump could do, because, you know, like, you could kind of isolate Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could isolate him. Mitch McConnell's like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We're not going to. You could isolate Trump. Let him say crazy shit on Twitter. Right. Let him do his crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem was,
they embraced him, yeah.
The QAnon people said, the Boberts and MTGs and the Matt Gaetz and all, and the Jim Jordans, all those fuckers, they know he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
They go, but his base loves him.
Yeah.
So if I just get just the same base to love me.
Right.
Because we know why they don't vote.
Mm-hmm.
We know why the cinemas, they don't go in line.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about votes.
Right.
They live in states that it was a close election.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's all about staying in power. We know what it's about.
Yes.
We know why. We know why. We know why Virginia and North Virginia. We know why. It's like 50-50 down the middle. We know why. But it's wrong.
Yeah. It's wrong. It shouldn't
Sometimes
be that
you
way.
You have to vote for the better conscience of your people. When you know your people are wrong, like, I assume that's why you elected these officials.
Yeah.
I assume. I understand you want them to have your best interests.
Mm-hmm.
But when your best interest is not really your best interest, you know what I mean? It's killing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No Planned Parenthood. In West Virginia or Virginia,
right.
You're gonna have problems.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
and
just
it's
not. That's not just. I'm not talking about abortions.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know,
healthcare
for your baby.
Yeah, like pap smears and all that stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Cancer screening.
Women's private, you know, doctor stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Abso-freaking-lutely. You know what? We are going to take a quick break. We will be back after this message. There's so much going on in the world that can make it difficult to relax and decompress. You've experienced the Sunday scaries, that feeling of dread in the pit of your stomach that comes on Sunday afternoons. Now, here's a totally different Sunday scaries, vitamin-boosted CBD gummies. And you don't even have to wait until Sunday night rolls around. Self-care is so important, and Sunday scaries is here to help. Sunday scaries believes that everyone deserves a hand on a difficult day. So if you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries has you covered with their CBD products. Visit SundayScaries.com and use the promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, at the checkout and get 25% off your order. That's 25% off at SundayScaries.com with promo code SEXYLIBERAL. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not for use by sale or to persons under the age of 18. Okay, we're back. Boy, that bird has a lot to say.
it's very, very vocal.
Wants to get in on this podcast. Okay, so I want to kind of switch the conversation over to, you know, I saw that you also were talking, I think we talked about this on the last time we did the show, but you tweeted about Democrats need to really go after the Latino vote. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. Goodness. And I retweeted you. And then I tagged Jamie Harrison. You tagged Jamie Harrison. Jamie Harrison answered you and said, yes, I'm hearing this. Now, I want you to talk about this, but I just wonder, I'm like, is there any, would you ever have any interest in like reaching out to him and giving him some advice on this? Because I don't know if, you know, it doesn't seem like the Democrats know what they're doing with Latino voters.
I was trying to help Jamie when he was running.
Yeah.
And unfortunately that did not work out.
Oh,
but
okay.
He's head of the, you know, the Democratic party now, which is fantastic.
Right.
And, he sent me a DM.
Oh, good.
And he was like, hey, man, listen, our number one thing is the Latino vote. The same way.
Good.
The same way it was the black vote for Georgia, it's nationally the Latino vote. And I said, Jamie, I got chills. I said, Jamie,
wow.
So good to hear that you. And he goes, listen, obviously, we're going to be building toward this. I want you a part of it. I said, dude, whatever I could do to help facilitate this, I'm all in. This has been I was like, you know, I felt that the party dropped the ball, and basically you pandered to the Latino party 5 months out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're going to think of it as. It's
right.
Just pandering. And he goes, 100% agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
They started way too late. I was like, we're not a monolith.
Mm-hmm.
The way you go out and get white votes, you have to get Latino votes.
Mm-hmm.
Educated, uneducated, religious, Protestant,
mm-hmm.
Catholic, with children, without children. It's the same way. We all vote different. On top of that, we're different subgroups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, when Biden sent out that tweet to Cubans in Florida to vote for him, I told his campaign, I said, guys, that's a wasted $2-3 million of a commercial. It's a wasted tweet. It's a waste.
Mm-hmm.
60 to 70% are automatically going to vote for Biden of the Cuban vote.
Yeah.
I go, but guess what? There's 1 million Puerto Rican votes.
Mm-hmm.
That guess what? Vote predominantly by 70% Democrat.
Wow.
I was like, there's votes there that are just waiting to be plucked and did nothing. Why doesn't Biden right now, like, let's lay the groundwork. One tweet a week in Spanish.
Yeah.
One tweet a week. I was like, come on, you lazy motherfuckers. And it's not Biden. And I'm going to tell you why it's not Biden. Because he can't do everything.
Right.
That is above. He's dealing with way more important shit.
Yeah.
But the people running his Twitter, you fucking lazy motherfuckers. Like, it's just, because listen, it's not rocket science, Kim.
No, it isn't.
It's obvious. One tweet. Let's lay in the work right now.
Yeah.
They're not doing it. I said, who's our Latino everyman? Who's our Latino everyman that are going to, okay, who's the Latino in Puerto Rico that's going to galvanize Puerto Ricans in the state, Ricans in the States.
Right.
Okay, so I could tell you offhand, you want to get athletes who, like, you know, states and countries, they love their athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Felix Trinidad is Felix Trinidad Democrat? Is Miguel Cotto a Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
How about Bernie Williams, used to play for the New York Yankees? Are they Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
They're beloved by Puerto Ricans. And then you go in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
In the States. You start, and then Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. You can't go, and I think we spoke a little bit about this before. You get people that are unrelatable.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez at the time, there were a couple of times, they're not relatable.
No.
They're so elite of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
And they come from so much money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not relatable.
Yeah.
You need your every man and woman who are relatable, who come from meager beginnings, and yes, they did too. They did too. But it's so long ago.
Right.
Kim.
Right.
They've been rich for 20, 30 years now.
Yeah.
They've been rich. So they're not relatable. You know, Alex Rodriguez, making $20 million a year since he was like 22 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, and the same thing with J-Lo. Mm-hmm. You know, since she did Selena, the film, mm-hmm. how long ago? 26 years ago?
Yeah.
25. They're not relatable, man.
No.
Those aren't the people to galvanize. And the same thing, like, let's use your connections. Mm-hmm. Let's use their money. Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. But they shouldn't be the face.
Right. No, I totally agree. Yeah.
And you know, and it's, you know, whoever was running, I actually know who was running, but I won't shit on them too much. But whoever was running the Latino part of the Biden campaign for the Democratic Party failed.
Yeah.
Failed. Should not be part of the party. Trump got 28% of the Latino vote.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Again, no. Hold on a second. Against Clinton.
Wow.
Biden got 31%. He did worse.
Wow.
Because Trump, from day one, 2 years out, hit Florida, Kim. Mm-hmm. Kim hitting Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting. Then he gets Jorge Masvidal, who at the time was, it was him and, the MMA, the Irish guy, Conor McGregor.
Oh, right, yeah.
The two hottest guys, mm-hmm. right? And had him speak at the convention. Had him speak at one of his rallies.
Yeah.
And I was like, I go to my wife, I go, babe, so fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. Because that guy, Jorge Masvidal, mm-hmm. came from the fucking gutter.
Yeah.
Street fighting for $100 a fight. And is now making millions.
Mm-hmm.
He literally started from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Now he's here. It's fucking brilliant. And I go, there's a little guy called Nate Diaz who's counterculture anti-hero, who's beloved in the Mexican community. Why is no one in our fucking party?
Yeah.
Fucking, it pisses me off because they're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know who they had running for the Latino part of his campaign. They fucking failed. They suck my ass. And like think this through, like 3D chess, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, okay. Who was that guy that you just mentioned? I don't know who you're talking about, but the last guy you just mentioned, can't you say something to Jamie Harrison about him?
Well, I will. I was okay. be saying all these other things.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
also my guy. Oh, my guy from who I love him from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
The ball guy, the Latino guy. What's his name? Latino. We retweet each other's stuff constantly. He's Latino. He's got like 2 million followers, and he lives where? In Miami.
Wow. Why did you get him? Exactly.
I'm like this. What the fuck?
See, they should hire you to give advice and advise them. Because you obviously understand, or if they don't hire you, then they need to hire someone like you. And I totally agree, because that's where we're missing it. I mean, you're right as far as these elite, glamorous movie stars, they have something to offer. But when you're just talking to regular voters who are not wealthy and they're just worried about feeding their kids and putting their kids in school and all that stuff, you need to have someone who resonates with them and makes them feel like, oh, I can identify with this person. And Eva Longoria ain't going to do it. I mean, I love the woman. She's really smart and she's gorgeous and she's a talented artist. But you know what? She's not reaching those voters.
Kim, more than that, they're losing the male Latino vote.
Yeah.
Big time. They got the female Latino vote, but they're losing the male Latino vote. Because why? Machismo.
Right.
That freaking machismo mm-hmm. that MAGA lives off of.
Yeah.
That, right? So you got people like me who are very machismo, but it's not toxic masculine.
Right, right.
Those are the guys you have to, mm-hmm. Get in your fold
mm-hmm.
to galvanize those who are, women's rights.
Yeah.
LGBTQ.
Right. What? Right, 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 right. Yeah.
You got to break those guys down.
Yeah.
You got to get those guys
and
let them see your perspective. And people like me.
Yes.
Who grew up shit poor, who had 40 fights, who has been shot and stuff. You need people like me.
Yeah.
To be like, listen, my man, you're wrong. And this is why.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez ain't talking to those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They may be like, hey, yo, Alex, let me get your autograph, B. Mm-hmm. Oh, yo, lend me some money, motherfucker. and yo, B, your wife is hot. They're not listening to him for advice.
No.
They don't respect him in that way.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this. Get iced tea.
Totally. Yeah.
No, I'm dead serious.
No, I know you are. I agree.
I know iced tea. Like, listen, and I love ice. I love ice.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees it like how I see it. He sees it from my perspective. I got friends that are Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, one of my best friends is fucking like, he's not, I call him mini MAGA. He's not MAGA, but he's mini MAGA. But I grew up with him since I'm 13 years old. He saved my life.
Yeah.
He's had my back from day one. I got his from day one.
Right.
And his two best friends are Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Who are both diehard liberals. But, you know, I see it the same way. He has friends that are on both sides.
Yeah.
But what's right is right.
Mm-hmm.
We both see what's right is right. You know what I mean? And I think, like, people like Ice are there for the plucking.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way. And I don't think Ice is a pawn. He's not a pawn.
No.
I don't mean it that way.
No.
Because he's his own man.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him to death. And I love his Twitter because it's fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's uber, uber smart man. And I think people like him and you have to get.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you. That's why it's like I want you to take over. And I know you're just like barely getting back into your life because of COVID things. And it's like, but, you know, Jamie, I'm glad that you're talking to him. And I hope that that dialogue continues because it really boils down to the Democratic Party does have to listen to the voters and not just with policy stuff, but with messaging. They've got to get better with messaging. This is a common, you know, everyone who's on my show repeats the same thing. Democrats are really good at governing, but they really suck at messaging. And that's the bottom line. So they have to, and it's like, oh my God, how many times do we have to say this? And, you know, you got, I guess you got some shit last night because you called on, I think you tagged Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Senate Dems. And people were saying, why are you tagging Pelosi? And you're like, because she's got a huge voice. That's why.
She's like, I don't know, maybe the third most powerful person in our entire party, because it's not Schumer.
No,
you know, so it's like what Biden, Michelle, and Pelosi.
Right.
Am I missing someone?
No, right? I think you're absolutely right. And Pelosi's a force, but of course, you know, the tweeters out there are going to be like, why are you picking on Nancy? And it's not, you're not picking on her. You're wanting more from her because she is so powerful.
I want her to grab Schumer by the neck and grab these people and to, which I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
We spoke about this.
Right.
She is that woman.
Yeah.
She is that bad bitch. And I mean that with love.
Love. Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? She's that one, like, you're going to fuck around and you're going to find out.
Right.
That, oh shit. She just fucking stabbed me 50 times. Yeah. That's what I love about her. Because, listen, it's dirty game.
It is.
Politics and entertainment are hand in hand. The most dirtiest fucking professions.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, she's mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
Same way Mitch McConnell
has
mastered it. She's our Mitch McConnell, but for the good.
For the good,
of
right.
The people.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Well, you know, I always ask this of everybody who's on my show, and I will continue to do so. But, you know, providing all the stuff that we said all kept in mind, how are you feeling about 22? I mean, are you freaking out? Are you? Because I will say, I just want to throw in there that, yeah, starting June 15th, Americans are going to start, any parents who have kids under 17 are going to start getting automatic checks. They don't have to do jack shit for it. It's going to come. We will have that advantage. And then, you know, keeping in mind that Manchin looks like he may be softening in some areas, doesn't look like Sinema is. What are your thoughts for 2020?
You
I mean, 2022.
Well, midterms, I'm really worried.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. There's so much fighting and infighting on Twitter. It's like, I don't know about you, but I get like massive, like, just DMs from friends, and I'm just like, guys, we need to stick together.
Yeah.
Guys, like, let's move past this big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big picture. And it's just like, you know, and another thing is, you know, people, like, not to go back on the same thing we were talking about, but another thing that is a big issue is everyone has their own issue that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But if you want people to tweet your shit out to help you,
mm-hmm.
it's a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Like, you have to tweet. You got to tweet my shit out,
right.
And I will tweet your shit out.
Yeah.
You scratch my back, I scratch yours. And it's the same thing, like, I tell people, I go, listen, like, none of you have tweeted out any Latino tweets. None of you.
Mm-hmm.
I go, when we lose Latino votes, you're to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, and I know you guys don't want to hear it right now. I go, but how many Latino tweets, how many tweets did you put in Spanish?
Hmm.
Just in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
You could tweet out your own agenda. Just do it in Spanish.
Yeah.
How many? And I go, and then when we asked you to, like, I got like 500 likes and like 120 retweets.
Mm-hmm.
But then my normal political tweets will get like 1,000 and 3,000.
Right.
I go, you have to give to get.
Well, just so, FYI on that, first of all, that never even really occurred to me because obviously white privilege, but anytime, yeah. I'm going to start doing that, and I'm not Latino or Latina, but, or Latinx or whatever the right way to say it is.
I think using Latino the right way, it can be gender neutral.
Right.
So it all depends on how you phrase it. I do not like Latinx. I don't know who the fuck said Latinx. And basically, I think only 4% of all Latinos use Latinx.
Right.
So someone didn't give me the 411 or ask my opinion. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll get Latinos that'll be like, ah, you're a white Latino. And when I say Latinos, just for the record, Latinos, by grandmother is black.
Right. Oh, okay.
My uncles are black.
Mm-hmm.
So am I not referring to them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm referring to all Latinos because all Latinos are all shapes, sizes, and colors. So, mm-hmm. of course, it's Latinos that are Afro-Caribbean. It's just mm-hmm. stupid. It's just divisive fucking people. There's always subgroups of white. There's also groups of black.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if a white person came up with it. So,
you know. Well, I would not be surprised. My friend, I would not be surprised. So when I mean Latinos, I mean black, Mexican, white, Spaniard, Afro-Caribbean islands, mulatto. I mean all Latinos. I don't even know how. That was a massive segue just now. But...
Well, if you, when you put out your Latino tweets or whatever you have in Spanish, send them to me and I will retweet them. I don't necessarily always see it. So, but if you send it to me, I'll retweet it because I agree with you. And I mean, I just want us to get on, you know, I mean, I imagine you feel like I do. I'm a Gen Xer. I am scared, like you're saying. And I feel like even though this stuff was starting to unravel, especially I think with Reagan and just, you know, going through, and then there's Newt Gingrich and his messaging that hurt everything. And then unfortunately, you know, having a black president, it just enraged the racists so much and it freaked 100%. Them. Yeah. It freaked them out so much. I mean, it was a good thing, but his presidency was just so jarring to the white supremacists. And then we have Trump, and it was like that mix of everything has led us to a place that I don't even fucking recognize. And, you know, I always go back to the fact that because I lived in communist Russia when I was 12 years old and I got to see what the Soviet Union looked like. It really hit when I realized that Trump was basically helped by Russia and that Putin was involved. It's and knowing that Putin is KGB and Soviet mindset, it scared the shit out of me. I mean, fortunately, we didn't tumble into, you know, a modern day Russia with Trump in office, but that's where Republicans are going to take us. And, you know, feeling like, because I had the opportunity to live not just abroad, but in a Soviet rule country, I see how easy, you know, Americans think it could never happen here. Oh, we've had too many privileges, but it's like, I don't know that we're going to go to the streets. And who was it? I think it was Tim Weiss, who is anti-racism educator, and he was talking about how, I think it was 1984, just leave me alone, let me feed my family and watch my TV and leave me alone. And that's basically how people would react if Republicans take over. They're going to start implementing you know, certain rules that society's going to have to live by, and they're going to be way different and way restrictive. And if you fall out of line, just like in Russia and other countries that are not advanced as we are, they, instead of causing a trouble and going out in the streets and risking getting arrested, they're just going to want to stay home. People don't realize that, because we're not going to go out to the streets. We're going to be too afraid to do it, because we don't want to go to fucking jail, and we don't want to lose our families and our livelihoods. So we'll just take what they give us, as long as they kind of leave us alone at night to do our thing. And that's a sad, it's sad, but that's what happens.
Yeah, it's very bad.
So if, unless we get our shit together, as a country, we're going to lose it. And Republicans are showing us very clearly what they will do. And we will be an oligarchy that is just an autocracy, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
So we, I mean, we can't do that. You got to save us, Kirk.
I listen, you know, it's I tell this to my wife all the time. Like, if there's an issue with like just like protocol or social etiquette, or, you know, and most people would assume that I would fail at all of those things. And I'm just shocked. I tell my wife, I go, how do I know to do these things? Mm-hmm. And these other people just things in general. But I just went on a fucking tangent, lost my head. My whole point was, you know, my big issue is all these people from Harvard and Yale and Stanford, Duke, you know, all these Ivy League schools. Mm-hmm. I would say if we did a background assessment of every single person that worked in our government, excluding the military, I would say probably 85% are from Ivy League schools.
Yeah. Probably.
And I think that's a problem, because I have a problem with people who think they know what the average American needs when most of them have never been raised average. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the bigger problem that we're having. So my point is, when you said you need people like me to save us, those people don't listen to people like me.
Yeah.
They think I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Right, and you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right, because I don't want to give too much away here, but let's just say there is a group of people. They're a known group, not by name, but by the label they have, and they will not listen, let's just say, to someone like me. And I'm not going to get too far into it. And it's not even like care that people, like, I don't think that I have all the answers, but I have something to contribute. And because I'm not an academic, and because I don't have, you know, the fanciest language all the time. I have a pretty decent vocabulary, but still, I am not an academic. And so I am immediately dismissed. And I think that's a huge mistake, because people do get wrapped up in things like Latinx, and they're not looking at the bigger problem of how do we get more Latino voters to the Democratic Party. Let's just call them Latinx and not worry about it anymore. And it's like, it's not enough. We need to do more. And I think really, really what it comes down to is what I was saying earlier, that the Democrats, who are leaders, not just in the party, but just basic overall leaders, need to come together and figure out a plan of messaging and to drill it into the public, so that the people who are not paying attention all of a sudden start to pay attention, because let's say Biden did a weekly or a monthly fireside chat and said, hey, we've got this problem with white supremacy, and here, let me back it up with proof, and let me back every, and Republicans are going to do this, let me back it up with proof, and then you've got it coming from Pelosi, you've got it coming from Obama, you've got it coming from Michelle Obama, you've got it coming from the people that you were talking about, and all the, you know, all the influential people, whether, you know, because there are a huge, there's huge groups of people who are not online, they're not on political Twitter, and they don't know the every fucking, like, we are, you know, we're on it all the time, and we're seeing the breaking news, and we're getting what's happening, and we're listening to the experts talking about it. They're not. So they just have a kind of headline idea of what's happening, and they don't really understand it. And a lot of people, like my grandmother, who is no longer with us, but she used to say, like, I think she voted for George Bush, and my mother had been like, no, don't vote for him, he's like terrible, and she's like, well, it's the Republicans' turn. And that's really how she saw it. And I think there are a lot of people out there that think, I mean, maybe not exactly like that, but as superficial as that, without really looking at what's actually happening. Oh, well, the Democrats had 8 years. Well, now it's time for Republicans. And it's like, no, not when Republicans are acting like fascists. So, I think that I wish that the Democratic Party could figure that out, because I think you were about to say that. It's like, how do I, who's not the academic here, how do I know this and you don't?
Yeah. And listen, I'm not saying I'm going to deal with the economics of it all.
Yeah.
That's above my way above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But even though I was going to go to high school for math, but I mean, for Stuyvesant for math, which is, you know, pretty, but anyway, my point is, you know, but I can tell you how to get more Latino votes.
Yeah.
That's what I can tell you. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yes.
And those are the things I could tell you. But, you know, because they're not doing it.
No.
Because Biden would have, there'd be, I mean, what, he put out maybe 10 Latino tweets in a year?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not enough.
No.
I mean, once a week.
Yeah.
Minimum. Minimum once a week.
Well, I hope we can figure this out. I mean, I had, just to kind of throw this in there, but Christopher Boozy, I mentioned him. He's the one who does Bot Sentinel. He's an African-American man, Democrat, and I spoke to him on Monday, and I asked him how he felt, and he did feel hopeful. And his thing was that, I mean, obviously, you know, he's paying attention, and he understands what's going on, and he feels that, you know, America has a certain unique resilience to it, that that, and I agree with him, but I mean, he's not saying we're not in danger, but he feels hopeful, because he does think that, you know, we'll be able to overcome this, and I hope that we can, because it's frightening. And, you know, I mean, I'm white and I got all the privilege in the world, but the white supremacy thing freaks me the fuck out. And it's not just because of this, but, you know, white supremacy carries with it all kinds of misogyny too. So, I mean, it's misogyny and bigotry and, you know, hating gay people and all that stuff. So it's like, it's terrifying for all of us. And I can't believe we're at this state, but here we are, and we got to get through it.
Tell that guy from Bot Central, no Democratic Republic has lasted 300 years. Yeah. Tell them that.
That's true.
And where are we at right now? What, 248, 250 something? So we're going to be the first to break history?
I hope so.
you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, right? Yes. Now, yeah, we're coming to the end. Yeah.
And it's not getting better.
No.
It's not. We just had a sedition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, January 6th.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know. I hate being a pessimist.
No, I know. I feel the same way you do.
I'm a realist.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I mean, I see things, you know, from where I was raised, I see things black and white. And yes, there are a lot of gray, but I see things black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's good people and there's bad people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's Republicans and there's Democrats.
Yeah.
And there's Bernie supporters. You know? So, you know, but...
Well, there's bros. You know what? I used to be a Bernie supporter. And I do know some Bernie supporters who are not bros. I think a lot of us, though, decided, oh, I like Warren. because Warren says the same thing.
Warren.
Yeah, Warren basically says the same thing, except she's got all the plans for them and she knows how to execute them, which I think she understands better than Bernie. And I know that Bernie people will hate me for saying this, but I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe she knows how to get shit done more than he does. And
Warren was by far the smartest person on that stage.
Yeah, she was
the most qualified. Obviously, you could say Biden because he was already vice president, blah blah blah.
Right.
But I mean, it's just levels.
With
Warren. And but mind you, what's his name was pretty damn smart too. Pete
Buttigieg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely got a long career. As long as democracy stays, he has. I mean, I think he could easily be president one day. I think he's a little too young right now, and he needs to get some more experience. But yeah, he's really smart, and I love when he goes on Fox News. Oh my God, he handles them perfectly. Perfectly.
He's gonna loosen up. I love his snarkiness.
Yeah.
He's great when he's in that element of Fox News.
Yeah.
Because he's just so smart. And he already knows where he's going to go, whatever the direction, because he did his homework,
right?
So he knows whatever they counter him. I bet you he's a fantastic debater.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever they're going to counter him with, he knows how to re-counter. But he's got to loosen up in the debates. That's the only thing.
Well, you know what? I go back.
More personality.
I go back to Gore. Remember, he was like a cardboard cutout.
Yes.
He was terrible. And then eventually he got over it. And, you know, when he got over it, he was great because he was, you know, animated and funny. But I don't know what it was. It was after, you know, 2 years of being vice president. I don't understand why he didn't realize that. But he was really, really, really boring. And he had no energy or anything. But then obviously we see him doing the movie about climate, and he was completely different, and we see him in interviews and he was completely different. So I hope maybe Buttigieg will like find that same kind of energy, because he's got it. It's just he's got to release it and let go.
That could be the Beto effect, because the same thing, what happened to Beto?
Yeah.
On the big stage, he crumbled. He choked. He choked on the big stage. And I kind of think that was the same thing with Gore.
Yeah.
When he's in an element that he could control.
Right.
That he wants
That's
to
true.
Be in,
That's true.
He's more charismatic. The same thing with Beto on the smaller stage in Texas. He was more, you know, speaking at churches.
Mm-hmm.
He was more galvanized. He's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, who body snatched Beto?
Right.
I mean, there's somebody body snatched him. Like, I mean, he was just like fumbling over his words.
Yeah.
And like, you know, using his hands a lot, and like he just was a different person. It was shocking.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to keep you for any longer, but I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. It was a great conversation. And, you know, right before we started, I was like feeling anxious. And I, like I said, I did this patrons only show and I was basically going over it because I had my hormones tested and I found out some things. And I'm hopefully going to be able to fix what's wrong, but one of the things that's I'm dealing with is anxiety. And so sometimes like I wake up and I just feel anxious immediately. I feel negative immediately. And it's something that is kind of new. I think part of it is the political climate, but I also think that I found out that basically I have there's two different thyroid things they test, and one of mine was a little low, so I might have hyperthyroid.
That's a big effect very big. Yeah.
So I was, you know, but I said in the thing that, you know, talking to you would probably help pull me out of that negative feeling, and it has. So I just want to say thank you for that, and thank you for coming on the show. But before I let you go, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Just at Kirk Acevedo on Twitter, and the same thing on Instagram. And I just want to say, I want to make sure, like, when I was talking about, like, you know, the Latino celebrities, I by no means was shitting on them.
Mm-hmm.
They're a huge help.
Yeah. No, I understand
their connections
that.
And their money is a huge help.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you need people that are more relatable
to
the everyman. And that's what I was just tending more to what I was trying to say.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a Latina or a Latino Stacey Abrams.
Right.
And that's what we need. We don't have that.
Yeah.
So you know, and she's relatable.
Yes,
you
know, she is. Yeah.
She's knocking on door to door. You know what I mean? And really just putting in the footwork.
Yeah.
We don't have that on our side. You know, it's not like, you know, even LaGuardia wasn't going door to door.
Right.
You know, or J-Lo. Like, if they were, that would be a big difference.
Right.
But that would be a big difference. Mm-hmm. But they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, Stacey Abrams literally was.
Yeah.
And was like, I mean, just, I mean, she's a freaking godsend.
I know.
And that's what we need, our, you know, Latino version of that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Well, there is AOC, but she's not necessarily going door to door. She's not.
Yeah, but she's not going door to door. And she's doing her work.
Yeah.
And she's doing her work. She's always tweeting about Latino issues.
Yes, she is.
About Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Should be. And God damn it, she's from the Bronx and she's Puerto Rican like me. Why the hell is that woman not following me? listen, my objective one day is to get her in to be the first Latina as the president of the United States.
Yes.
That is my, in 20 years from now, she's got a good shot.
Mm-hmm.
She really
I
does.
Totally, I love her. And it took me, like, it didn't take me a while to love her, but I wanted to make sure, like, I wanted to see how she was going to behave and, you know, what kind of congressional rep she would be. And, you know, I gave her like a year to, and she continually impressed me, but I thought I wanted to make sure she didn't like fuck it up somehow. No, I love her. I think she's amazing. And I think that we're going to see, you know, as time goes on and as long as we can keep our democracy, just like with Buttigieg, she's another one that's, you know, I could easily see her as president and I would love that. That would
be awesome. Also the fact that, Republicans can't stand her.
Mm-hmm.
That's big, and most people go, well, no, in politics you got to make friends on both sides of the aisle. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it for fucking 300 years or 240 some years. That's the problem. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
It's not
work.
Working.
I'm not trying to make friends.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to make friends. I'm trying to pass bills and laws that are gonna help our party and to help our country.
Yeah. Yeah, just like this bill where people are getting money from the government to take care of their kids. And the thing is, you know, somebody pointed out to me yesterday, oh, it's only for 2021. Yes, right now, Biden wants to extend that. He wants to take it further with the American Families Act. And so that money will keep coming in. So, you know, you're not just going to get it for 2021 and that's going to be gone. But even if that were the case, that's way more than the Republicans would ever fucking give you. So it's like, be smart about this. I mean, there's so much at stake, but again, I'm really grateful to have your voice because it's important and you have a lot of influence. And of course you're extremely funny and entertaining because, if anyone out there is not following Kirk, you should absolutely be following him, not just for his political, takes, but his humor and his cats. And then also Kirsten Warren, his wife, who's just so lovely and sweet. And it's like, you guys make a really interesting pair because, you know, you've got the machismo going on and then she's got the softness and it's very entertaining. And I love you guys and your whole family. I just love you.
she's my good angel.
Yes, she is. And she's such a sweet, she's so good. She's such a good person.
She really is. Yeah,
she's, and it shows. It just comes through. But anyway, well, just before we go, you can find me on Twitter at author Kimberly, KimberLey. Of course, you can go on Amazon and find my books. And thank you again, Kirk. It was great having you on.
My pleasure. Come anytime.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.